Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for clicking on the Holderness Family Podcast.
Yeah.
You guys.
It's
Friday for us. It might be Tuesday, Wednesday. Who knows what day of the week it is for you. But we always look forward to Friday because we get to learn a little bit more about each other.
You know, I have to say, we had an amazing week. We were in Fort Collins, Colorado, hanging out with our friends Taylor and Heidi. He's dude dad. So by the time you're listening to this, you might have already seen a video that we put out. They were talking about maybe starting a podcast. And I said, from the bottom of my heart, this is my favorite thing we do because it forces us to sit across from each other and have a conversation.
Yeah. And it honestly doesn't matter if anyone is listening. Like, we're growing by doing this. This is like good therapy for us.
Yeah.
We get to be present for each other. It is nice to know that people are listening and that we're getting some feedback that we're very grateful for.
Yeah. So here's a recent review, which is from Samron27. And again, it feels weird to like read out loud nice things about you, but I'm just,
we've been told to do it.
We've been told that if we read these, then you're reminded to leave a review. And if you leave a review, other people find it. So it's really self-serving and weird, but I'm just going to acknowledge it. Okay. She says, he says, they say, I don't know what the pronouns I'm using are. I love the podcast. Kim and Penn have great chemistry, and I always learn something from each of the guests they have on. It's a fun listen, and I highly recommend, as this show is definitely a favorite of mine. Side note, I love the Would You Rather. Please continue that and others. So we thank you, by the way, for leaving that review. This is the sort of feedback we need. We've broken up this podcast doing segments. So we'll have a guest, we'll do a different segments, but one of the segments that was picked was Would You Rather, and they are a fan.
We're sticking with it.
So we're going to stick with it.
We're sticking with it.
Okay, on to our question of the day. This comes from Casey, who's actually called us before, and she left us a voicemail.
Hi, Kim and Penn. This is Casey from Apex again. I called once and talked about how my New Year's resolution was to give people compliments when I was thinking about them in the moment, like at a grocery store checkout line and everything. And you mentioned it on the air, and I wanted to call because I doubt I'm going to see Penn in the store anytime soon, though we don't live too far from each other. I wanted to give him a compliment, and that's for being so open about his ADHD. It's really because of him and other people like him who share their experiences that I am currently on a journey as a 40-year-old woman who struggled really feeling kind of like maybe I was just a broken adult. I've been pretty high-functioning, but still struggled with things that I didn't understand why I struggled with my whole life. I'm currently on the path for diagnosis at the moment. And so I just want to thank you for that. Thank you both for putting more love out there. And especially in this past few years when we've definitely needed more love out there, I appreciate you creating a more welcoming environment, especially for the neurodivergent. So there's my compliment. Thanks again. Bye.
So not so much of a question, but a compliment, which was very kind. But it got me thinking, how many adults, specifically women, are going undiagnosed? And what does it look like as an adult to be diagnosed with ADHD? Because it has to look different than it does in children, right?
Yes. The reaction that I had, I just heard some specific, taking some specific words out of what she said that really hit hard, you know, feeling like a broken adult. You heard her say high functioning. A lot of times high functioning can hide a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, like along with all those things that you just said, I am acutely aware of the history of ADHD diagnosis and the fact that, well, actually we're about to learn in a second, like just how different it used to be, but I was just called a space cadet. I was someone who just wasn't paying attention, and there wasn't an actual name for it until I was in college. So a lot of you heard her mention that she was in her 40s. There's a lot of people out there in their 40s who couldn't be diagnosed as a child because it wasn't really, I mean, even though it was in the psychological manuals, it wasn't really a thing that people were looking for as much as they are now.
That's why we're phoning a friend, Dr. Marcy Caldwell. We've spoken to her before, and we are lucky enough to have her again.
Marcy Caldwell is a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in the treatment and assessment of adult ADHD. In addition to her private therapy practice, which she's been doing for 15 years, Dr. Caldwell is the director and chief psychologist at Rittenhouse Psychological Assessments, LLC, as well as the senior assessment supervisor at Tuttleman Counseling Services at Temple University and lecturing professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome back, Dr. Caldwell, and I'd like to start by thanking you for letting me plagiarize you over the last 6 months or so, because you, I don't know if you remember this, the last time we talked, a real light went off in my head when you helped explain ADHD to me, and I think you just have a gift for it. You were the one who told me that ADHD, first of all, we're going to change the name, is mm-hmm. like having this mixing board, and you can't dim thoughts, they just go on or off. And exactly. that changed me so much, and it helped me explain it so much. And so I'm starting by thanking you for that.
You are welcome, and I'm glad it was helpful. I think that metaphor is very clarifying in terms of this isn't just about attention or activity. This is kind of about an on-off switch for all of the aspects of our brain.
And so the caller that we just heard, she's a 40-year-old woman, and she now, after reading and listening and hearing, has discovered perhaps she may have ADHD. Why do you think that a lot of adults go undiagnosed?
So I think it comes from a variety of places. One is that our understanding of ADHD and how it shows up in adults is new, right? We kind of used to think of it just as like this disorder of little boys, you know, jumping all over the classroom. Mm-hmm. And as we understand ADHD and how it plays out throughout people's lives, we're more able to kind of see the more subtle variations. And we're able to see it, you know, when it's not quite so extreme, right? We also now have a greater ability to see it in different populations. So we're not just seeing it in little boys, we're seeing it in women, we're seeing it in girls, and it plays out differently in all of those populations. Add to that that ADHD is just a more well-understood diagnosis now than it was for a lot of us who are adults when we were kids, right?
Oh my gosh, I was just called a space cadet. That was the term. Mm-hmm. That was the official term.
Exactly.
And I did not hear about it until college. And I'm in my 40s as well. So yeah, like when did they start really figuring this stuff out historically?
So it's actually been a long-held diagnosis, but you know, it had a terrible name at the very beginning. It was minimal brain dysfunction at the very beginning.
Oh God, wait, that's right? Even worse than ADHD.
It's terrible, absolutely terrible. And it was seen as this very extreme thing, right? And we kind of only notice it in very, very extreme cases. And then as we started to study it, we started to see, oh, this is actually much more of a spectrum, and we can actually see it showing up in a variety of different ways and throughout the lifespan. So it didn't really, you know, this more nuanced understanding really has just been the past 10, 15 years. So those of us that, you know, are older than 25, we didn't have the benefit of that understanding earlier on.
Talk to me, because we had, you know, we had this woman calling us, and because Penn has been so open with his story, we've been lucky enough to be on the receiving end of a lot of other people sharing their stories, which is so beautiful to read and listen to. But talk to us about women in particular. Mm-hmm. What are the sort of symptoms that you would call ADHD versus depression, anxiety? Like, how do you piece those? How do you unravel those diagnoses?
So that's a really good question, and it's a tough question, because ADHD so often does pair with depression and anxiety, right? So let's just look at ADHD in women for a moment. Women are much more likely to, as girls, and as women too, they tend to internalize their experiences, right? Whereas men are more likely, and again, we're talking generalities here, men are more likely to externalize their experiences. And so as kids, women tend not to get diagnosed, or girls tend not to get diagnosed, because they're internalizing the struggle. Mm-hmm. Boys are more likely to externalize the struggle,
we sure
and so
do.
They're more likely to be seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not until women get older that they can start to kind of have that meta-awareness and see, oh, this might be what's going on, right? They need to be able to see it rather than outside people seeing it and being like, there's an issue here, let's figure it out. So that's one of the reasons why women don't get diagnosed until later. They also, you know, as Penn said, get labeled a lot, right? Space cadet, chatty, overly social, things like that, right? Things get kind of explained away. Mm-hmm. And so then they get into adulthood, they don't have an explanation for why they've struggled. And for women in particular, you know, the societal expectations for women are that they're good at these sorts of things, right? Women are supposed to be on time. Women are supposed to be tidy. Women are supposed to be in charge of, you know, managing the whole family. Women, these are kind of like societal expectations of women that we don't hold as much for men. Penn, you look like you're going to disagree with me.
No, I was going to yes and you. So when a woman realizes she might have it, are we dealing with shame?
Yes, a huge amount of shame, because without that diagnosis, right, there's no explanation for why this is so hard. And so what do we do when we don't have an explanation? We assume that it's us. We just assume, like, I'm just a terrible human being.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we don't think, oh, there's something wrong with my brain. We think, oh, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Everyone else can do this. Everyone else can get their kid to school with their lunch and the permission slip signed. Everyone else is managing this just fine, except for me. And that creates a huge amount of shame, which then, Kim, as you were, you know, saying, also then creates depression and anxiety.
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week.
Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So that's why, you know, I never considered myself, you know, somebody with ADHD because I'm not a hyper... By the way, just for those listening, I've never been diagnosed. I've never ever sought a diagnosis. But all of the things, when we looked at the difference in our children of what ADHD could possibly look like, inattentive is for, you know, our daughter, you know, different issues for our son. Again, they've not been diagnosed, but probably could be. And I look at it, I'm like, that was everything that you describe, except for the overly chatty part. I'm not overly chatty. So I am more of an introvert, but everything I read about women and ADHD, I'm not hyperactive. I'm not chatty, but I'm like, you know, struggling. I'm reading your website here, like organizing, prioritizing, staying on task, like all of these things. I'm like, I just thought life was harder for me. I just thought my brain, I have been diagnosed with depression and anxiety. So mm-hmm. I have that diagnosis, but in talking with a lot of friends who have just been diagnosed with ADHD and then they do a medication for ADHD as opposed to medication for depression, they're like, I didn't know life could be like this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, like, by fixing this problem, it then fixed my depression and anxiety. So again, I'm not on the hunt for medication right now, but I'm wondering if, like, yes, Penn has a more typical version of ADHD, but maybe I should be looking into something like this. What do you think, Penn?
I will let Marcy obviously jump in. And I don't want to be part of this underdiagnosing thing. The only thing I will say is your life is bonkers.
That's yes. True. Yeah.
And you are, for the most part, pretty organized. But you are in a freaking clown Volkswagen car, like going through the circus right now in your life. I mean,
just the stage of parenting we're in.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm not trying to explain this away.
No, but it's fair. It's fair to know like what my environment is. Like maybe it's a subject of mine. Maybe I can't focus because of the clown car I'm in.
Yeah. And then your unwinding is, you sit on TikTok and you let yourself turn into you have ADHD on the phone, but doesn't everyone has ADHD on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to diagnose her. Marcy, I'd love to hear what you think about everything she just said.
Well, I think, you know, both of these points are true. And obviously, Kim, I'm not going to diagnose you right now. But I think that there is an underdiagnosis issue happening for women that is, you know, that we're rapidly working on. But Penn, you are also right in that the expectations of modern life also can make it, you know, overtax a even neurotypical brain. Mm-hmm. And even a neurotypical brain can look a whole lot like an ADHD brain under stress. Mm-hmm. Working mom of two kids, you know, doing all the things that you guys do, that's a lot to juggle. Mm-hmm. And so actually Ned Hollowell in his book, ADHD 2.0, which is awesome, talks about how there maybe should be this second category of kind of like modern life acquired ADHD. And you know, that it's not rooted in the same neurobiological underpinnings, but ends up kind of showing up in the same way, and maybe ends up, and I'm not saying treated on a medication level, but maybe treated in terms of practical day-to-day strategies in a very similar way.
Yeah, I that's probably, that rings true to me, that I think that these qualities of kind of feeling overwhelmed, disorganized, can't get started, you know, can't keep on task, feels very new to me in the last 10 years. So probably more
you have
lifestyle.
Modern life.
Well, it's a acquired lifestyle problem.
Executive functioning disorder.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's
MILF, not MLIF.
I have MILF.
You have MILF. Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
I've been diagnosed with MILF.
I mean, I've heard you have been called that before many times.
I'm claiming it. MILF. Okay.
Marcy, you always come at us with such interesting like nuggets that I've never heard of before. And that's that one, that's going to be the one I take away this time, is the modern life. That you're a MILF.
But we also, I don't want to leave the guys out of this conversation, because mm-hmm. we do have a friend of the family, an adult male who was recently diagnosed. And again, he was able to get, you know, it was found that medication might be helpful, and it's been incredibly helpful. So how does it look in men? Like, what's the difference between men and women?
Yeah. So in men, you know, we see this kind of undiagnosis or lack of diagnosis until adulthood happen, either because they have a more inattentive, one of these more subtle presentations, or because they may be super smart, and that intelligence can kind of attenuate the struggles for a while, right? And it's not until life gets bigger in one way or another, whether it's you go to college and the deadlines get longer, or you have to work in a kind of a more independent way, or you're managing work and kids and family and all this stuff, that then, you know, that system starts to kind of crumble under pressure. And so men's ADHD, you know, tends to fall along what we think of more often as ADHD. We're going to, you know, in adults, we're going to be looking at less of that hyperactivity in terms of like jumping all over the place. But you will see it more in terms of, you know, jumping from project to project. You'll see it in terms of, you know, having a hard time sitting down and just kind of like sitting and focusing on a thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then kind of get up and move around a lot. If you're kind of a fly on the wall, you'll see them. It's like that Family Circus cartoon where they're like all over the house, bouncing from one place to another. And you see it with a lot of hyperactivity in terms of thoughts, right? The thoughts are bouncing. Thoughts are kind of like ping pong ball, just kind of all over the place. And that can lead to some anxiety. You also see a lot of kind of 60 to 80% finished projects, right? And so get, you know, mostly finished with something and then move on to the next thing and then on to the next thing. And so there's, you know, often kind of a trail behind the person of, you know, these almost finished projects. And rarely are things kind of put away. That would be really finishing a project.
Pen holderness.
Yes.
Well, yeah, sort of, right? I'll tell you the thing that hit the hardest that you just said was you mentioned anxiety, right? Like, mm-hmm. I never had a panic attack as a kid. I don't know that I had anxiety. I think it was just called nervous energy. I've had a couple of those in the last 2 or 3 years. They could also be modern life acquired. I'm not really sure what that is.
You could also have MILF.
I could have MILF. But it does seem to me like that kind of unease, sort of the vibrations that Kim has described before, they're like, they're not flooding in, but they're kind of creeping in a little more as an adult than they did before. Is that part of ADHD, or is that just me doing too much and needing to go on vacation more?
Well, I think ADHD and anxiety often come alongside each other. Anxiety mm-hmm. really helps to keep ADHD in line. And so when you are, you know, when your brain doesn't naturally hold on to things, when your brain is constantly kind of letting things fall off, anxiety will come in to help, you know, help keep it important, keep things important.
Just sounds, I'm sorry, this is such a good point, but it just sounds so miserable. Thank God for anxiety coming in and terrifying me into finishing my task, but I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, and so as your life gets bigger, as things get more important, anxiety can very often come in and say, hey, you can't let go of this thing. And then it also can be, so it can come in to help. It can also be, you know, a result too, because I like to think of ADHD brains as being like a fishbowl. And anything that's inside the fishbowl, it's super aware of, right? And so, you know, your wife, your kids, your job, you know, things that are very present, it's very aware of, extra aware of. But the moment something jumps out of that fishbowl, it kind of tends to disappear. And so ADHD brains are, you know, they're notorious for, like, you know, leaving medication on the counter so that I, you know, so that I make sure that I always have it, right? Mm-hmm. Putting things out so that I can see it, because you know this at this kind of like felt level, that if it disappears, if it goes in a drawer, if it goes away, your brain's going to lose track of it. So having all the stuff in the fishbowl, that makes it, that's a full brain, right? Mm-hmm. All these things floating around that we're trying to hold on to and we don't want to let go of, it ends up making that nervous system feel really overwhelmed, and that can then lead to anxiety too.
Right. Something just clicked in my head again when you were saying this, when you were talking about the fishbowl, just like the soup of things that are happening. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked to you in a couple of years, I think, or at least in a year. And since then, we went on this show called The Amazing Race.
Yes.
And it was, Marcy, it was a fishbowl. All of these things that you're describing were like all in this giant fishbowl. And so I think it was a pretty good example of what it's like to be a neurodiverse adult in a fishbowl. And we definitely thought of you a lot, and a lot of the other people who were explaining it to us. And I do think that the conversations we've had with you about being a neurodiverse adult helped us get through that without pulling all of our hair out. So I wanted to thank you for that as well.
Well, you're welcome. And it was super fun to watch you guys do that.
Were you laughing when I was looking at the clue and that was like obviously ADHD and I was just spacing out? Or did you have a little bit of fun with that in your house?
The whole journey was really fun.
Well, okay. Thank you. I know we said we were like, oh, this phone a friend and talk to Marcy for 10 minutes and it's now been 20 minutes. So thank you for being.
Yeah. If I had my way, I'd talk to her for an hour every time.
I know.
Yeah.
We would just make you a weekly phone call, but then yeah. I think we'd have to like then pay you your hourly rate. So thank you for free therapy. But can you tell us and tell our listeners where they can find you, find your information, find all your resources? Hit us up. What you got?
Sure. Great. So you can find me on adeptaddept.org. Almost all my stuff is there. You can find my practice at rittenhousepsych.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcy.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you again to Dr. Caldwell for joining us. And I have to say, she has such a clear, calm, warm way of just really simplifying what's happening.
In just a few words.
And yeah, just a few words. So we really appreciate her time. We hope that was informative to you. I love it when I learn something. And I learned that I'm a MILF, basically.
She hit me, like she always hits me with truth bombs where I always go, whoa. Mm-hmm. And the big woes for me, and this is, I don't know why I didn't make this connection before, but anytime something about you causes shame, that's not a good thing, right?
Typically, no.
and so I'm just going back to the voicemail that we got at the very beginning from Casey about saying that she felt like a broken adult.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't that sound like shame? Where, I mean, you can't put a name or a or really you can't put your finger on what it is. And then on top of that, society is telling you that you were supposed to be this way. And the fact that society tells a woman they're supposed to be something very different from what they're telling a man, which in this case is buttoned up, organized, all of these things, it can lead to that high functioning, okay, I'm just getting by, even though, no, Casey may have the exact same brain I do, but it's almost like society's telling you that's not acceptable if you're a woman. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many layers to this. And quite honestly, why there are, I love that we have had messages like from Casey and from other people that have been so generous and shared their stories. But, you know, we do have people in our lives that I'm so thrilled that they have, even just, not everybody's on medication, but the fact that they have a name to put with how they're feeling, mm-hmm. to take away that shame. But I'll admit there are days when I think, why is this so hard? And that's why I was thinking, well, maybe that's the reason. Like maybe it's because I have ADHD that everything today seems so impossible. So I'm not saying I don't have it.
No, but I want to talk more about you. Like, wasn't that interesting hearing about that sort of new, it's almost like it's new branch of the spectrum, which is this modern life acquired version of ADHD?
And I mean, Penn knows this because he's married to me. I mean, he's the world's best partner, but I had like a panic attack. We'll call it a panic attack. It was panic attack light on Monday. I mean.
No, that wasn't light.
Yeah, that was big.
That was real.
Obviously, I'm a human being deeply impacted by, you know, there's a series of mass shootings, but in this one by this white supremacist. So I was deeply impacted by that because I'm a human being. And then there are just like other normal life things, and everything felt too much. And so on Monday, like literally, we're about to fly out to go see Taylor and Heidi and have a very, very busy week. I was like, honey, I can't do it like this anymore. I can't. There's something that's happened. Like, I want to do all these things and I want to do what we're doing, but why is it so hard? Like, why? I felt like, why is everybody just moving along and doing life normally? And I can't right now. And then, you know, it was one of those days where I was just pretty thankful to be busy, quite honestly. And, you know, listen, we're starting to put out these weekly vlogs. It may not last. We may not do them forever, but I'm enjoying it. And I was pretty open. Like, I opened it with me crying on the closet floor. Like, I got through it, and I got, you know, ended up having a wonderful week. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just regular anxiety, but I don't know. Maybe there's some ADHD mixed in.
Well,
that was a lot of rambling, and I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me? Like, this is why we're here. There's no such thing as you telling me that you're rambling.
Well, I'm like, why am I talking? What words am I saying?
Well, because we started talking about how, you know, this modern life acquired ADHD, and we've got to remember, like, again, Marcy, she's sort of our North Star when it comes to these things, because she's very succinct and she puts them in ways that are a lot easier to repeat than the way we do. And one of the things that she said was, it's a fishbowl, right? Like, all of these things go hand in hand. You just heard me admitting I'm having anxiety more than I used to, right? We're like, modern life may be acquiring the crap out of us right now.
And I think that a lot of people are feeling this. I think with the pandemic, I mean, I'm not going to say it's over because I feel like everybody I know has COVID, but we are getting back to like what life was like, but yet we lack, you know, we went from not leaving our house to like going 60 miles an hour back into life. And I think all of us are sort of evaluating, wait, is this the type of life I want to be back into? Mm-hmm. So I think there are a lot of people going through this, and it's not just us.
And you've inspired me in a lot of ways to try to talk about this, because I don't know how to put this, but I keep thinking about Casey, right? Like, she and I are a lot alike. I've felt like a broken human being before, mm-hmm. and I know I'm high functioning, and I don't know. And I think she's got like a really good organized brain. I love how she's very positive and she gives compliments. She's called us twice and has given us compliments, mm-hmm. right? I don't know what her support system looks like, but I know that I have a really good one. Mm-hmm. And I think you're the center of my support system. And if we can be a support system for other people, in some way and just say, look, I hear you. Everything you're going through, I'm going through, or I have gone through. And I think if you keep at it and you keep that positive attitude and you find a way to work on whatever your shortcoming is, I mean, obviously, I think getting diagnosed, even getting medicated sometimes is a good idea. But no matter what you do, if you can put a name on it and you can understand what it is, that gives you something to work on.
Right. And so I kind of like bristle a little bit when people are like, just have a positive attitude, because I think you can, like, that toxic positivity of like, just keep going. Like, as somebody who's been floored by things that, like, no matter how positive I was, it was terrible. I know that's
I didn't
not,
mean
that's,
it that way.
I know that, but I just wanted to clarify. I know that's not what you were saying, because you do a really good job of trying not to spit sunshine when I'm going through it. You're not like, just get positive. Like, you are not that person. But I agree with what you just said, is that once you name it, like, we have this in our marriage book that we talked about, and it's a motto in our marriage, name it to tame it. Like, once you name something, it is less scary. So if you have an ADHD diagnosis or anxiety or whatever it is, you know what it is. And you can, whether it's behavioral therapy, whether it's, you know, life hacks, or it's medication, it's easier to tame.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. It's time to move on. We have a segment that our reviewer actually really liked. It's called Would You Rather?
Hey, it's time for everybody's favorite weekly game. Yeah, both of these options are unbearable. Gotta choose one, even though it is terrible. Let's play Would You Rather, starting now. Hey, all right.
Would you rather be a genius and know everything, or be amazing at any activity you tried?
Those are both great options. This is like, I kind of like the bad, like, this is a good one.
The next one we're doing is a bad option.
Yeah, I like the bad ones better, but this one, okay, this is more like dreamy. Would you rather be a genius and know everything, or be amazing at any, oh my God, no.
Is the music still on, by the way?
It's low. It's low.
It's like good, it's good under bed. People like it. We've gotten feedback.
No, we haven't gotten
feedback. Yeah, we've gotten positive feedback on the music.
No, you have not.
All right, this is going to be a lot more dry then. There we go. I hope you're happy. Dead silence.
No, they're listening. I struggle. I have like an auditory thing where I can't hear too many things at once. Yeah. And so that was
the... You don't even have your headphones on right now.
I know, and I heard
Can
it.
Can you still hear it?
I'm a super hearer. Super hearer.
I have my answer, but...
So I'm picturing, like, would you rather be really great at a cocktail or slightly annoying at a cocktail party and know everything, or just be amazing at anything you try?
Right. What I'm trying to figure out is which one of these would be the least annoying to those around me, because both of them are going to be like, I hate people who are amazing at everything they try.
You don't hate.
Oh, my gosh. My buddy Joe is like the best athlete at everything.
He really is.
I can't, like, he's the nicest guy.
He's
like, basically, like, during COVID, he would take our kids out to like lakes and streams and do like nature stuff. Yeah. But he's just so good at everything.
He really is.
And sometimes I want to punch him, but he's one of my best friends. But I want to punch him. So, like, but I'm kind of the guy who is Mr. Know-It-All. And I know people want to punch me, too.
But you make up half the stuff you think you know.
some of it I know.
And I can tell when you're lying. And sometimes I see people like, oh, really? I'm like, guys, he's lying. He doesn't know that.
All right. I think I'm going to go with the amazing at every activity. Because I can't stand... The guy who, like, because, like, the genius who knows everything is going to actually you to death. Like, actually,
so,
it's pronounced Fabergé.
How else would it be pronounced?
Fabergé.
Nobody says Fabergé.
Y'all got Fabergé eggs. Y'all got fake poo. This would all be so much better with the music behind it. No, Max, put the music back in.
No. I would rather be a genius. I sometimes get this really overwhelmed, panicked feeling about all the things I don't know and all the books I'm not going to be able to read.
Also, like, not everything you know is going to be good. You're going to learn some sad stuff.
I learned so much sad stuff just being on the internet.
I guess my point is that if you're the genius and know everything, you're also going to have to learn some crappy stuff.
Yeah, but then you learn like how to make it not so crappy.
I guess I'm just thinking it's going to make you sad.
Way to be a downer there, Holderness. I think I'd rather be a genius. Okay. I think I'm pretty good at stuff anyway. So I'm fine with my level of activity. I think I'm a decent enough. I'm in my 40s. I don't need to be great at everything, but I can pick up physical stuff pretty easily. And that's as good as I need to be. I don't need to be great at things. I aim for average when it comes to like physical stuff.
Okay. I don't know if I want to live with you if you're a genius and you know everything, but I accept your explanation.
Okay, here's another
one. Do we even need another one? That was a good one.
Yeah. Would you rather belch or fart at the end of every sentence you spoke? So here's the thing. We just went to Colorado.
Oh, my God.
And Penn couldn't. I have an answer for you. So Penn could not stop farting. Like the entire time.
It's the elevation.
Every time he spoke, he would or took a step, it was like pfft, pfft, every time he's walking. But we actually did an Instagram story today about like the fact that our couch is being now supported by a stack of books, and you jumped on, you're like, I keep farting, and somebody typed in, we call them the altitudes.
Oh, that's a thing,
because the high altitude makes you gassy for the first week.
Well, that makes me feel a lot better.
So you had the altitudes.
By the way, I would rather fart. And here's my reason, Kim. I've been told that my burps smell worse than my farts. Like, especially if I'm eating.
Not true.
If I'm eating, farts are like,
they come out like green, like cartoon characters. They're so toxic.
I don't think you could really smell too many. The Colorado ones weren't really smelly because they weren't food driven. They weren't like, it wasn't like I ate a steak. Like,
pressure on your bowel.
It was just pressure. There's gonna be, oh my gosh, there's gonna be a doctor commenting on this, and I can't wait to hear. And also farts just feel so much better.
It does like your pants fit a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
like a fart too.
I think a belch, like at least a fart, you could just keep smiling and be like, it wasn't me. But that's a lot of farting.
It's a lot of burping. So there's this place called, like Jasmine Mediterranean Grill.
Oh, yeah.
And they have this baba ganoush that if I eat it and I burp in the next 2 hours, it smells like a cat crawled into my mouth and died.
Is it the garlic?
I don't know. It's awful. And so I had to sit next to Melanie, and I would always go there for dinner when I was working at the TV station. And she knew when I was eating the baba ganoush, if I was like 4 bays over, I wouldn't even have to be in the same room as her. And she would smell my burps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, so that was fun. What was your answer?
I think I'd rather fart.
We're both farting?
I mean, there's not a great answer.
Okay. Okay, so we have some other segments. We are not doing a good job sprinkling these throughout the show. We're just hammering them in at the end. I don't have a space one this week because I haven't had enough time. We've been traveling a lot. Mm. I do have a Keep You Interested in Sports one.
Tell me.
You want to try it? Here we go.
Yeah.
Can Penn keep Kim interested in sports for more than 60 seconds? Go!
Okay, are you ready for this?
We've only got 60 seconds. So
we went to the NHL playoffs.
We did.
It was a lot of fun. Canes are doing great. Yeah. They're in the second round. Our daughter went home and she like had a headache and she was like, it was too loud. It was too much for me.
So loud.
Do you know that the PNC Arena, where the Canes play, as well as multiple other arenas in the country, have sensory aided areas? They have sensory nooks. Oh. It's like a place where you can go and it's kind of quiet. They have a room where you, like a quiet room where you can go to. They pass out weighted lap belts and blankets. A lot of professional arenas have become, and a lot of times it's often for people with autism and ADHD, but they're also welcoming anybody with any type of anxiety. And because, do you remember how it was loud, but it was a sustained intensity of like noise when we were at that game. It was fantastic, positive energy.
Our ears were ringing for hours. We probably have permanent hearing loss.
We just need earplugs for that.
Yeah, I think so. I am interested in that.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Okay, I actually, if we go again, I would like to have access to that because we just talked about this. Like, I have an auditory issue. So if things are, If somebody's chewing, oh my gosh, Penn had chips yesterday and they were, the chewing is so loud. So I'm just triggered by sounds and noises and things like that. So I can handle it. I can suck it up for a bit, but then there are times where it gets too much. And yeah.
So the Canes launched it, and this was actually, UNC Health did an article on this. We have a lot of good friends at UNC Health. It was a new sensory inclusive initiative, and it started 5 years ago. Like they partnered with a group that was like providing all of these things, mm-hmm. like sensory bags, weighted lap pads, photo sensitivity glasses, and they're all in this like guest services area. But I want to look this up. I think it was part of like a senior thesis from a college student or a professor. It was just like, let's give this a go. And they've just gone, oh, look at this. This is 5 years ago. Local high school senior Cameron Jarvis proposed the program to Carolina Hurricanes Management as a class project. That's where it came from. Ugh. Isn't that cool?
Kids, man.
Yeah. It's just another reason to like the Carolina Hurricanes. But there's other groups that do it. That was more than 60 seconds. Sorry.
But I cared a little bit about that. Did music? Did you have music playing underneath that?
Very, very low. You could barely tell it.
Okay. It's time for our favorite things.
Funny TikTok videos that she's rocking. Scarves for her necklines and dresses with pockets. Stuff she discovered and joy that it brings. These are a few of Kim's favorite things.
And because this is your segment, I'll go all the way out with the audio.
Thank you, honey.
Even though it's lovely to hear in the background. Okay.
So I mentioned we hung out with our boy, Taylor, and Heidi from Dude Dad. One of my favorite things is he just published a book. It's called A Dude's Guide to Baby Size. A Dude's Guide to Baby Size, What to Expect and How to Prep for Dads-to-Be. He just put a book out, and we got to be with him like the week after it published, so I have not finished reading it, but it is kind of a what to expect when you're expecting, but from a dude's perspective. Taylor's super funny, but it's comedy. So if you're expecting or know someone who's expecting, I think this would be a great gift. Of course, we bought it, and if I am expecting, then it's Jesus. So we have no intention of having another baby, but I have one on hand. I have several on hand, actually, to hand out for pregnant people.
Books, not books. Babies.
Oh my gosh. No babies.
Just making sure
it was fun to be with them, and they have three littles. Like they're 10 years behind us in terms of, no, they're like 7 years, 8 years.
Oh, cause, yeah. Thea's a little older.
Yeah. Behind us.
Yeah. And I'll just to echo the book. It's if you know Taylor and his stuff, if you don't, check him out. It's Dude Dad, just across all social channels, but he has a lot of joy in being a dad. Also, as does Heidi. And by the way, Heidi is just a phenomenal mom. So just hearing their perspective. So it's also really cool because like they're considered contemporaries of us because we have sort of a similar shtick or spiel. We put videos out on YouTube and on Facebook, but they're younger than us. So it's like looking back in time a little bit, and they're absolutely crushing it. I love and they're vulnerable and they're funny and all the things that you want from a friend.
Yeah. So, and I will say another one of my favorite things is we are getting to travel again. And, you know, we were in New York last week and then we were in Colorado this week. So it was really, as hard as it is and exhausting as it is to get out and get on an airplane and just the hassle of doing that, it's really lovely to see people and get out there. So
it's also some like us time.
Yeah.
Because we don't get to spend enough time together.
So funny. We are doing these like vlogs and stuff like that. And I did one about how we went to New York. And I'm imagining we're going to put this out and people are going to be like, what do you do with your kids? You guys, obviously, they're old enough to stay home alone. We just leave some cereal. No, we have like a village of people that.
Friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and sitters and the whole thing.
So, I don't think anyone thinks that we just leave our kids at home.
No.
That's a bit of a leap.
No.
And our kids are grateful when we, I think they're actually okay with it because we work, guys, newsflash, we work in our house. So it's almost like a vacation from them seeing us work in our house when we're gone, right?
Well, also, they're at this age, they're 12 and 15, where they come home from school and then immediately have practice or homework, and Lola's in final season. So if we were home, I don't know that we would have seen her a whole lot because she goes to practice, comes home and studies. She said she was up till 10. We didn't get home till like 11 last night, but she said she was up till 10 studying.
Can I go back to just something that, like, I like going full circle in the podcast.
Yeah.
And you talked a little bit how you were feeling a lot, and I saw it, you were feeling a lot of anxiety on Monday. Does travel help or hurt your anxiety?
I think it helps it.
I think so too.
Most times, because it's a very clear assignment and I like a very clear expectation of what's going to happen. And what one of the things I love most about traveling is it gets you out of your place. And when I'm sitting in my house, which I love and I'm thankful for, I'm looking at all the things that I need to do. And I'm looking out at all the things that are, it's a very, I'm in my little bubble where only my problems matter. But when you get out into the world, even if it's to Denver, you see and meet other people and you see how other people interact and experience. And we just had this, we went to this cool place for lunch yesterday with my best friend from college, and the woman who owns the restaurant, did you hear that she lives outside
365 days a year?
Like she owns this restaurant. She's very successful. Yeah. But I need to go look for this blog, but I was like, what? And then we had to go. We were like rushing off to the airport. So you meet and you get out of your own, like you get your head out of your own butt. So
I have a theory.
What is that?
We just got done talking to Marcy. She talked about modern life acquired ADHD. And, you know, that could be cell phones. That could be just a lot of things going on. It could be digital. It could be distractions. There's got to be modern life acquired anxiety as well. And especially for people in the last few years, just the same four walls,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that was the reason I originally asked you if you enjoyed traveling. Like, do we need to get you out of here more often? Seriously.
Well, but also, you know that I get very antsy. And I've had to sit with that a little bit too, because I am the type of person, I think that in my former life, I was some sort of nomad because I do like moving around a lot. Mm-hmm. And we have lived in the same city, which I love where we live, but we've lived here for a long time and it's longer than I thought we would live here. But I love our community and I don't picture going on it, but like I could be the type of person that moves houses every couple of years. I could be the type of person that moves and maybe that problem is solved. Maybe that it just kind of scratched with more travel. So
I think it's going to have to be that, because as your real estate video showed, if we want to buy something right now, it would be a shed without a floor. It would be $2 million and we'd have to do it sight unseen.
Yeah, I know. I think we'd make good money on our house, but then we legit couldn't move.
Unless you bought an RV.
I know. So that's very appealing to me.
I know. Let's get our kids. Like, I know I keep saying let's get our kids through high school, but I don't know.
Our kids would never do RV life. And honestly, like when it comes down to it, like
you wouldn't either. You would need separate bedrooms.
I know. Cause I just think that like you're a very big person and you need a lot of space and your shoes are even really big. Like where would your shoes go in an RV? So, but I think that.
Well, we've got I'll tell you what.
We've reached the point in the podcast where we're just rambling.
Well, but we do have the title of the podcast. The title is Where Would Your Shoes Go in an RV? And so that's good. And hey guys, thank you for listening. Just kind of keep going at the end there, but sometimes that's our best stuff.
Today not. No. You know what? And I put out there like, hey, if you listened and you got here, screenshot it, tag me on Instagram. And like 10 people, including my mother, tagged us on Instagram.
Your mom always tags us on Instagram. She's the best.
She's so good.
When everybody else bails,
Peggy's there, man.
Peggy's still going to be there.
Peggy's there, man. And the best part, and there was a TikTok.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
They went around some kind of quoting this, but this is true, that I could legitimately be in court on trial for murdering somebody, and my mom would be like, but you were the cutest one there. Like, she is my biggest fan.
So she didn't disagree.
She'd be like, but you're super cute. But were you the cutest one there? I think you were.
Everyone have a great week. Thank you for listening. I feel, don't you feel like you learned something today?
I did.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.